The definition of aging as used in medicine is that aging is a decline in the, I can never pronounce this, P-H-Y-S-I-O-L-O-G-I-C.
Physiological
capacities of functions in an organism after the period of reproductive maturity. This is elegant language for a simple concept, which means that aging is the process of decline or deterioration of normal human life functions following the height of health and childbearing. It is the retirement of the bodily organ system. The process of aging is universal or normal. It occurs among all life forms and all humans. It is intrinsic, that is, it occurs separately from environmental or other forces, and it is programmed into our cells. We age throughout our lifetime. It is irreversible, and it is variable. It occurs at different rates in specific organs of the total being. Admittedly, this makes the process of aging seem hopeless and undesirable. But note that aging is not a disease. It is normal. Slow decline in life functions accompanied by certain problems and changes. What we're going to study today is the fact that these normal changes and some special health problems that occur frequently in people in this older age group. It's important to separate our conceptions of being old and being ill. Many of us are concerned about the health problems of the elderly, and we often think of these problems as being acceptable, since so and so is, quote, very old. But many older people are full of good health. How then are aging and disease related? There are three general ideas. Diseases and aging are totally separate. That is, disease and aging occur coincidentally. But aging doesn't cause disease, nor vice versa. For instance, an elderly person may develop lung disease from having smoked heavily, but his age itself is nothing to do with the disease. This is the belief more or less held by many physicians. The second idea is that aging does contribute to disease, along with many other factors. For example, an elderly person may be weak and therefore susceptible to cancer, which his smoking has helped cause. This idea is also accepted by most physicians. And a third idea is that aging and disease are deeply intertwined. Aging itself causes organ breakdowns and disease, such as cancer. Now, these theories may not seem all that important or different, but they are extremely important for all of us as we think about aging. If it is true that aging is normal and that even very old people can have good health if their bodies are treated well, then aging is much less a dismal process. No one knows which of these three ideas is true, but there is probably truth in all of them. Think about how you view aging and disease and how about thinking affects you and how you understand the health problems of the people that you know. Let's give an example. Many physicians believe that aging and disease are separable and that it is important to identify the health problems of old people, trying to correct them and in restoring the elderly person to good health. But if it is true that aging and poor health are one and the same, then treating health problems would do little to help the person. What would be needed would be to stop the aging process itself, something which we cannot yet do. Except they've been talking about, you know, freezing people, putting them in an ice box and then bringing them back some other time. I don't think that's been done yet. Obviously, how one thinks about aging determines how one thinks about health. Elderly people comprise a special population with unique problems for the geriatric health worker. Together with the multiple diseases that many patients may have, there are underlying normal changes of aging which may confuse or make treatment very difficult. Pardon me. Anyone working with geriatric patients must take into account these problems. For the goal of the geriatric health worker, physician, a nurse, therapist, etc., is to keep the older person as healthy, functional, and satisfied with life as possible. When I worked with hospice care in Broward County, our main concern was pain management. Helping these people who had a terminal disease be as pain-free as possible for the rest of their days. There are special problems of the elderly. The elderly person presents special problems that require equally special understanding for diagnosis and help. For there are a multitude of underlying changes which take place. And although these changes are normal, they may alter the way an elderly person responds to disease and his ability to cope with physical problems. Understanding is important. But surprisingly, these gaps in knowledge are widespread. You know, it's only recently that medical schools have begun to educate health workers about normal aging. When we first started out in Broward County to put on seminars for the churches and synagogues, we had a geriatrician come and speak with us. He was the only one in Broward County. None of the other physicians were trained in geriatrics as yet. And this was about 10 years ago. And it is much better now, but still many doctors don't like to deal with this problem. They don't understand it. Physical disease in the elderly may be more difficult to detect. There are signs and symptoms may be diminished or absent, delayed in outset, or not characteristic of the same disease in younger persons. For example, a heart attack victim may have no chest pain because of the fact that aging changes his nerves. An elderly person with severe infection may not be able to make white blood cells to fight the infection, or even produce a fever. I didn't know that. Physical disease may be present as a mental change. The same elderly heart attack victim with no pain may have symptoms only of confusion because his brain is getting an insufficient blood supply. And the patient with pneumonia may be called senile because a lack of oxygen slows his brain functioning. It takes a sharp mind to notice changes in an elderly person's thinking and to remember to look for physical disease as the culprit. All too often, unfortunate people with new thinking problems will be called senile and ignored or put in an institution. And their underlying, often treatable illness will go undetected. Drugs in the elderly act differently, interact frequently, and can be harder to control. Since elderly patients tend to have many medical problems, they will often be on multiple medications, and the risk of drug toxicity and drugs interacting with other drugs rises enormously. In addition, some elderly patients take drugs for problems that they or their physician have long forgotten. or for problems that have been long resolved. And because of changes of aging, the older body handles drugs somewhat differently. The good health worker is aware of this and adjusts drug dosages appropriately for the patient's age, kidney, liver, and brain function. Multiple drugs should be avoided unless absolutely necessary.
Why don't they have a war on drugs for the elderly instead of all this? Because it's terrible.
Say no to drugs for the elderly, right?
Right.
Okay. There are certain drugs which do help the elderly. In hospice care, we give them morphine, things of that nature, to control their pain. Along with the multiplicity of health problems in the elderly, there is frequent chronic illness. This poses an enormous burden for the aged person in terms of physical health, life satisfaction, and finances. Remember that about half the medical expenses in this country are for chronic problems, and most of this is borne by the 10 to 15% of the population that is elderly. You know, they said that when Medicare came along, the elderly wouldn't have to worry about their health costs anymore, but this is not true. They're still spending this amount of money. Obviously, the medical problems of the elderly are special and often complex. And although aging is not itself a disease, geriatric health workers must be knowledgeable of this normal life process and the many special problems that accompany aging. What does OBS stand for? Anybody?
Can we guess?
Sure.
Obese.
No.
No.
OBS stands for Organic Brain Syndrome. Right. These are probably the most disturbing both to the elderly person and to those watching his slow decline in intellectual function. The common mental changes seen in the elderly are known as OBS, or senile dementia, and can be divided into acute or reversible, chronic or irreversible, or mixed brain syndromes. The acute brain syndrome are these, also known as delirium, and are characterized by mental changes that are of a recent, that is, hours or days onset. They are most often caused by physical disease, such as heart attack, infection, strokes, dehydration, or drug toxicity. See, that's where they get in trouble if they use too many drugs. The symptoms are confusion, disorientation, inattention, stuporness, agitation, and excitement. They may be mistaken for chronic brain syndromes, senility, without looking for a cause, or written off as acceptable in an elderly person. The important thing to remember is that these acute brain syndromes are often treatable and reversible. The treatment is to recognize and manage the specific underlying medical problem. Then there is the chronic brain syndrome. These are the mental syndromes which most people recognize as senility, which, as we know, are generalized loss of intellectual functions and memory. Their onset is slow and uncertain, but usually has been progressive over 6 months or more. The initial changes are gradual and subtle, and the family will usually be the first to notice small changes in behavior and thinking. The older person will have trouble thinking about projects, comprehending messages, and making decisions. Appropriate social behavior will at first mask intellectual decline, but that will be lost in time as well. where memory loss is characteristic. Recent memory, that is, first day's activities, the date and so forth, and remote memory later. They eventually will not be able to recognize even family or close friends. Behavior changes also occur with suspiciousness, making up bizarre stories or answers, and moodiness. My brother used to tell me about somebody's going to take over this country. He knows they're coming. He lived on the ocean, and he used to walk every morning and look for these people.
They're already here, the Japanese taking over.
Get the nursing homes, people say they're stealing from me around here.
Right.
Oh, dear. Sure.
Most elderly people are able to recognize some of these changes in themselves and can become severely depressed over their mental decline. And later they have little or no realization of their thinking difficulties. Then we have the matter of Alzheimer's disease.
I was just going to ask, how does this differentiate?
Okay. Most commonly up to 40 to 75%. Alzheimer's disease or Alzheimer's-like diseases have typical brain changes which are identifiable under the microscope and by actual shrinkage of brain tissue. The rest of the chronic brain syndromes are caused by arteriosclerosis and dementia and occasionally low thyroid hormone, pernicious anemia, and hereditary dementias and syphilis and many other rare diseases. I have a little Alzheimer's quiz here.
You mean hereditary? Alzheimer's is hereditary?
Maybe. You don't know. Nobody really knows all about Alzheimer's as yet.
Okay.
Here's a little quiz. Alzheimer's disease, named for the German neurologist Alois Alzheimer, is much news. But how much do you really know about the disorder? Political scientist Neil Cutler of the Andrus Gerontology Centers gave the following questions to 1,500 persons in a cross-section of people older than 45. Compare your answers to these. Is Alzheimer's disease contagious? A person will almost certainly get Alzheimer's if they live long enough. Alzheimer's disease is a form of insanity. Alzheimer's disease is a normal part of getting older, like gray hair or wrinkles. There is no cure for Alzheimer's disease at present. How many of you in your communities where you come from have an Alzheimer's clinic? In Minneapolis?
St. Paul.
How many have a daycare for Alzheimer's patients? No? I visited one out in near the San Diego area when I was out there in March. And all of the patients who come to this daycare center have Alzheimer's disease.
That must be very difficult. What do they do the other 12 hours at home?
Well, it gives the primary caregiver a chance to, not have to deal with that problem. A person who has Alzheimer's disease will experience both mental and physical decline.
Right.
And the primary symptom of Alzheimer's disease is memory loss. Would you say that was true?
Okay.
Among persons older than age 75, forgetfulness most likely indicates the beginning of Alzheimer's disease.
False.
Right. When the husband and wife of an older person dies, the surviving spouse may suffer some kind of depression that looks like Alzheimer's disease. That's very true. Stuttering is an inevitable part of Alzheimer's disease. Not necessarily. An older man is more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease than older women.
Seems that way.
Why?
Seems that way in my family.
In our convalescent center, there are no women, but quite a number of men.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many more older women than men, though, you
right.
think
mm-hmm.
that
right.
generally you have more.
Right. It says here a large percentage of Alzheimer's or those with like dementias are untreatable. Between 15 to 40% of these diseases can be treated, either with cure or at least halting of the process. And it's always important to look for the cause of any mental change and to treat it promptly, if possible. It is never correct to assume that decline in mental functions is a part of normal aging or the hardening of the arteries. Unfortunately, treatable causes will be few, but nearly all patients with chronic brain syndromes can be helped to get more out of their lives. Alzheimer's disease is usually fatal.
No.
Why?
No.
They don't die of Alzheimer's.
No.
Die of Alzheimer's. Right. Something else. Other complications.
We all die, but not necessarily.
There's other complications.
Right. Aluminum can be identified as a significant cause of Alzheimer's disease.
You missed one.
Did I miss one? I'm sorry. The vast majority of persons suffering from Alzheimer's disease live in nursing homes. Not
true.
A lot of them are at home.
Well, I suppose if they aren't in their advanced stages, then they're at home. Yeah.
Right. How many did you have at your place?
We had 7. They're very difficult to take care of.
Right.
And in many other institutions, they have them segregated.
Uh-huh.
They need locked gates and things. They wander around a lot. We had a lot of trouble with them.
You know, they have a law in Florida in an ACLF, that's an adult congregate living facility, that you can't keep people locked up.
That's right.
See? But a lot of these people, as Howard says, wander. So you know what they did? They put a fence around, but they put an opener on, which most of those people don't know how to use as far as opening it up. So when I used to go in and see my brother, I knew how to open the gate and get in and get out again.
I read an article where they put beepers on some. They wander off 10 blocks away. You don't have to have a search.
Right.
You can find out where they are.
Right. All right, let's go to aluminum.
Humans,
aluminum has been identified as a significant cause of Alzheimer's disease.
No,
is that true?
I don't know.
No.
But they are doing some research.
Oh, yeah. Right. Alzheimer's disease can be diagnosed by a blood test.
No.
Nursing home expenses for Alzheimer's disease patients are covered by Medicare.
No.
You don't get much covered by Medicare in a nursing home. Pardon?
Medicare don't pay nothing for a nursing
home. Well, it's not
the not
same
yet.
Coverage as anything else, isn't it?
What?
Well, like if you break your hip and you'd go there to convalesce, Medicare would pay so much, wouldn't you?
My mother-in-law was in a hospital, and then she went into a nursing home, and we tried to get Medicare to pay for it. Because if you're in a hospital for 3 days and then go to a nursing home, you're allowed to do that.
For 30 days.
For 30 days, yeah.
Yeah,
but it was denied by the state. You know why? Because the state office couldn't read the doctor's handwriting. I had to follow it all the way up to Des Moines. But we finally got it. You know? But now with this new catastrophic care, which has been passed by Congress, this will give more time in nursing homes under Medicare, if they are properly sent there.
Don't your nursing homes have to be qualified or certified, though, too?
Oh, yeah,
sure.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, why is there that differentiation there between the skilled home and the intermediate home as far as Medicare is concerned?
That's the system
That's ridiculous.
Well, a lot of government regulations are ridiculous.
Right.
Once they're in place, you have to decide how you're going to cope with them.
Yeah, I know.
That is a big issue with many nursing homes.
Right.
To get qualified for Medicaid.
And we were qualified in our hospice care by Medicare and then finally by Medicaid.
Yeah.
And we had to abide by those regulations, which were different for each of those two.
You have to be a Philadelphia
types.
Lawyer to remember.
Oh, yes, right. And medicine taken for high blood pressure can cause symptoms that look like Alzheimer's disease. Is it true?
Yes, I think so.
You
yes,
think so?
What is that? Pardon me.
She said it's true. She's a nursing home.
Well, I was on the board of directors.
Board of directors. Okay.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, we have some discussion on that. Ways to help an Alzheimer person. Accept the person without reservation or criticism. Don't infantilize. Don't talk to them like a baby or depersonalize them. Stimulate. Prevent withdrawal, usefulness. Keep personal physical contact. In this daycare center down near San Diego, they brought him in and they sat him around a table and they had a discussion about what was in the newspaper. And it's remarkable that these people who have Alzheimer's disease, if they're treated and stimulated, can respond in that kind of a situation. They need to be oriented to remind them of where they are, who and who they are. Some of these people don't even recognize their spouse. And to keep daily activities organized and consistent. Avoid confusion. Watch for sudden worsening and physical or mental changes and seek appropriate help. Protect them from injury. And use supportive services. Get outside help for them and for yourself. They have places now where these people can be diagnosed. We have clinics set up down there where they do that type of diagnosis. Watch for the loss of communication or function, visual or hearing loss, no contact with people or TV, being bedridden, which will worsen a dementia. Any questions about Alzheimer's? Anything you want to share?
Alzheimer's can't be positively diagnosed without studying brain tissue, is that correct?
Right.
So, I mean, in those clinics, they just rule out other things.
In the hospitals where this one is now located, they, I think, go into brain.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. They do a brain scan? Or
yeah. Mm-hmm. See, it all depends where it is and who it's affiliated with. Mm-hmm. So they're progressing in that area. Okay?
You said in one of our previous meetings that senility is, you know, not many people are senile.
Right.
Okay, identify senility. What is it?
It's memory loss.
Memory loss, yes. We talked about senility here in these different type of OBSs, organic brain syndrome, right?
The word senility is really, in my way of thinking, it's kind of a bad word. People throw so many things into that one classification.
Right. The proper term is senile dementia.
Yeah, that's a glorified word for it. That's still senile.
Senile dementia can be divided into acute or chronic. Yeah. We talked about those.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So it's more than, you know, just the cover-all of everything. Okay, we better get into some behavioral changes here. How do you deal with reactive depression?
Reactive?
Reactive depressions, which are related to stressful life changes, such as the loss of a spouse or a close friend, the loss of a function, such as a job or a home or other important things. Obviously, with the enormous fluxes in lifestyles accompanying aging, reactive depressions are common and should be looked at in the elderly population. Older people suffer more from these kind of successive multiple losses than other people.
They got more time to think about it.
They don't keep busy enough.
Aren't we, with all this wealth and affluency and everything, aren't we the most diseased people in the world?
Are we?
That's what I heard lately.
Aspirin.
Herbs.
You know where people live the longest upon this earth right now?
In Russia and South America someplace. Mm-hmm. Or the high altitude.
Up
but in Russia it's
Siberia. Up in Siberia.
That's the Black Sea.
It's priest
The Bugs and Turtles. Valley is or
Hunza.
Yeah.
Hunza.
Right. They don't have any problems up there.
Those men even have children when they're 90.
Schizophrenia is one of the most common of the mental diseases, also found with relative frequency in elderly population, especially among the long institutionalized. Did you find that true? Schizophrenia?
Nope.
No? There are specific drugs for schizophrenia which have been very helpful. What about alcohol abuse? You think that's a problem with elderly?
Yes.
We have a lot of closet alcoholics in our condominiums in Florida.
Drinking their own
things. Right. And they're unknown to even the people in the condominium who live around them. But when you go into the trash room, you'll see bottles there.
1 ounce a day is good for you, your circulation.
That's what addicts you.
I knew a person who had some trouble with his brain. And the doctor told him, a little alcohol will help stimulate your blood vessels and give you more up there in the brain. But he didn't say anything about don't use too much of it, you know.
We don't know moderation in this country. Right. We're extremists.
Mm-hmm. Everything should be done in moderation. Suicide is a very common and grave problem among the elderly. Also probably related to the frequency of depression and alcohol abuse. The suicide rate among elderly white males is the highest of any single group in the country.
Higher even than
teenagers.
Right. Yep.
Right. Chronic medical illnesses. The illnesses that affect the elderly can fill textbooks and generally are little different from those affecting any other age group. Hypertension is one.
I heard lately that the Mormons have the largest suicide rate of all the different
oh, really?
Religions.
I didn't know that. I was in Salt Lake City. They never told me that.
I didn't hear it. I've been in Salt Lake twice lately, but I heard it in Iowa.
I thought they had all the answers, according to what they told me. Hypertension, high blood pressure. That's one of the things that they have. I mean, I'm talking about elderly, not about the Mormons. Coronary insufficiency. This term describes a disease characterized by insufficient blood flow to the heart muscle, producing short periods of chest pain, angina pectoris, which may radiate to the neck, shoulders, or arms. And this insufficiency can be brought about by exertion, excitement, cold, sex, or a heavy meal. That's why some people don't practice sex anymore. See, they're afraid of coronary insufficiency. And the strain on heart muscles. What are you laughing for?
Maybe that's why they get all these diseases.
Because they don't practice sex? Okay, let's go on. Congenitive heart failure. Congenitive heart failure is a weakening of the heart muscle causing the heart to enlarge, but with failure to pump an adequate amount of blood to the body. Fluid becomes congested in the lower extremities, producing ankle swelling. My mother-in-law used to have ankles like that. I don't know whether she had congenitive heart failure or not. The lungs also become congested with failure to oxygenate the blood adequately. And these people suffer from shortness of breath, which is usually worse. And there's something called thank you. And similar drugs help slow and strengthen the failing heart. Water pills. You know about water pills? Help the kidneys dispose of the extra fluid congested in the body. They may also make the kidneys lose potassium, an essential element requiring supplementation from the diet or potassium-rich medicines. A diet low in sodium salt helps reduce the amount of congested fluid and the strain on the heart. That's why you shouldn't use salt. See? Then stroke. This is caused by a loss of blood flow to part of the brain, thereby destroying that part. The location of the stroke determines the functions that will be lost. Multiple or muscle strength, sensation, speech ability, etc. Little can be done about speech, about a stroke once it has occurred, but physical, occupational, and speech therapy can help restore lost functions. In our South Florida mental health center, we've seen these kinds of therapies being used, and the treatment is aimed at finding and correcting, if possible, the high blood pressure, blood vessel abnormalities, or heart problems that cause strokes before they occur. Rehabilitation can be slow and painful, but highly rewarding. Diabetes is a big problem with elderly. It's a common disease, almost uniformly crippling, painful, and destructive in its severe, untreated state. Many older people have milder forms of high blood sugar, which can be controlled by weight and diet control. With more severe forms, they require insulin injections. Usually, insulin cannot be taken orally.
Did you know they're using something from aborted babies now?
Are they?
To cure diabetes.
Hmm. Insulin is a natural body hormone that regulates blood sugar metabolism. The insufficient amounts of insulin, as in the diabetic, allow blood sugar to accumulate and to spill in the urine. The symptoms of severe diabetes are weight loss, insatiable hunger and thirst, frequent urination, the blurring of vision, and or infections. Many people with diabetes, however, are without any symptoms, and along with weight control, a proper diet, and insulin, the diabetic requires good skin care and frequent testing to help avoid complications. All of this may make old age seem to be a time of disease and decay, but the intention here is to inform us about the special problems which occur with aging and not because of aging. By separating out these problems and identifying and treating them aggressively, one can help restore the elderly person as functional, satisfying, and a healthy life as possible. You all know about the age pages? Have you ever seen one? You know about the age page.
Age page, no.
No? comes out from the National Institute on Aging.
Oh, yes.
And it tells you how to deal with certain problems. Urinary incontinence. The loss of urine control and so forth.
Is that the corridor? Is there an address?
Yes. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Public Health Service. National Institute of Health.
Is that Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C.
Is it true that we have more diseases than any other country?
I don't know. Is it?
Because isn't it Japan pays their doctors when they keep them well?
I know as far as the difference between Canada and the United States, we spend more of our gross national product for health care than Canada does, and yet we don't have the health care that Canada makes available to their people.
Well, I wonder if it's not those drug companies advertising all the time and putting all that junk in people's heads until they get something, because there should be some mind control.
You can always get generic drugs. You don't have to get what they advertise on television.
Yeah, but they're advertising something's wrong with you all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's how they sell them.
Well, that's bad for the head.
They sell their product.
They want to make money, right? Let's talk about medication.
Yes.
Medication, page 157. Let me find page 157 here. There it is. Medication. Assisting with medications. Medication is prescribed by a physician, dispensed by a pharmacist, and administered or given without client assistance by a nurse. In nursing homes, they can give medication. In an ACLF, an adult congregate living facility, they can't administer the medication. They're not allowed.
We can't.
What?
We can't.
That's right. So
in
that...
In a nursing home?
Yeah, I'm a nursing assistant. I cannot
give medication.
You have to
be certified.
Unless the doctor has ordered.
Unless the registered nurse is in an emergency and she says go do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Well, most nursing homes have MAs that are trained to do that.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about a nursing home. I'm talking about an ACLF, which is below the nursing home.
I see.
So what they do is they put it out for them. And they say, now this is what you're supposed to take.
Oh, dear.
Okay?
What role is the churches playing in this when they preach have faith all the time? If people truly had faith, they wouldn't be taking so much of that medicine.
My brother was a Christian Scientist. He thought his faith was sufficient to take care of his needs. But it wasn't. He had to be medicated.
But there's your moderation again that we should try to apply.
Remember, the legal difference between administer and assist. See? When you administer, you take all the responsibility that goes along with giving the medication. When you assist, the older person is taking their medication. He or she shares that responsibility. If the doctor has prescribed it, and it cannot be bought without a prescription, then those are the rules that fit into it. Over-the-counter drugs can be bought without a prescription. And as a caregiver, you will not administer either type of drug, but only assist the older person. See? That's how they get around it. What is the role of a caregiver? You will spend a considerable amount of time with the older person. During the time, you will often have to assist the older person with his or her medication. And to do this correctly, you will have to have a certain amount of information. Without this information, an accident could occur. what our nurses did in the hospice care,
where these people got confused about when they should have what medication. They would take an egg crate and put the medicine in the egg crate and mark it when they should receive this one and this one and this one. Helping them understand.
Well, then they'd still get mixed up per day.
Oh yeah, they often got mixed up. And when they'd go in, they'd ask, did you take your medication? Some of them take their medication, put it in their mouth, put it under their tongue, but they don't swallow it. See? They're tricky.
That's going to be one of the problems with home health care. People need somebody to see them every day because they can't maintain all of them.
As a caregiver, you must know the five rights of medication. You know what the five rights are? The right person. Is this medication for this person? The right medication, is this the correct medication? You need to read the label three times if you can understand it. Some of these places, when they put it on the bottle, you know, they try to put it down as in as short a terminology as possible. And you got to know how to read those labels. The right time, is this the prescribed time to take it? The right route, how to take it? By mouth, by applying it to the skin, swallowing it, or sucking on it? And the right amount, is this the prescribed quantity? You should also know the side effects of the medication, how to store the medication, and how it reacts with food. Some of these people who had cancer, you know, who were in a terminal stage, some of them didn't have a very good appetite. And you know what we used to feed them?
Jelly or something like that?
Oh, jelly? Jello?
Jello.
Did you ever see these things like baby food? In jars?
Ensure.
Ensure?
My husband had it like that. So liquid to drink.
Right.
A lot of calories in that. 350 calories to a can.
Right. Yes. You can buy those in the drugstore.
They're kind of like malted milk.
Like a malted milk, yeah.
I've got too many already.
Mm-hmm. You can lose the weight that way.
They're good. They're so nice tasting. There's nothing wrong with the taste.
Right. And some of them had to take their medicine that way. You know. Mix it up with it.
What you should
watch out for is if the older person is not taking the medication exactly as it has been prescribed, or if they are taking medication, prescription or over the counter, that their family or their nurse or the doctor is not aware of. And if the older person does not know why he is taking the drugs. If they're experiencing nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, itching, difficult breathing, rashes, hives soon after they take the medication, or if the older person's orientation and concentration and memory or mood changes soon after they take the medication, if they are confusing their medications. We used a terminology the other day in one of our sessions called titrate. You know what that means?
Increasing
or decreasing, right, the medication, according to the reaction of the older person. I checked it out with a nurse last time. She said I was pronouncing it incorrectly. It's not trite, it's titrate. Okay, how you assist a patient with medication? You assemble your equipment, the medication, the spoon, the water, the juice, the dressing, if medication is applied to the skin, tissues or the cotton balls. You wash your hands before you begin. We dealt with a lot of AIDS patients. most of them didn't die of, quote, AIDS. They died of other diseases, some of which they got in the hospital. You know, you go to the hospital today, you can come out with a disease that you didn't go in for. Infections occur. We have a friend of ours. He went in for a triple bypass. It was fine. But he got an infection. And he's been 3 years trying to get rid of that infection. He's in bad shape.
Do many older people have AIDS?
Some. Not many.
They get it from blood?
Oh, yeah. You can get AIDS from other things than your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did your hospice work with all kinds of terminal patients, or was it, did the hospice that I'm familiar with, it only would work with cancer patients?
No, we had all kinds. We had what they call end-stage diseases. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody who had a 6 months or less, as far as their life termination was concerned. All right, how much time do we have, Howard?
6 minutes.
Oh, dear, we better get on here to caring. Caring for the elderly who are ill or disabled. Every person reacts to illness, being disabled, and being dependent in a different way. Individual reactions are determined by age and family and culture and emotional health and all other parts that make up a particular person. Culture has a lot to do with it. The religious beliefs. At one time, my brother, you know, he wouldn't take any medication because he was a Christian Scientist. And, you know, some of the people don't believe in blood transfusions.
Jehovah's
Witnesses. Individual reactions are determined by age, family, culture, emotional health, and all other parts that make up a particular person. Even though there are individual reactions, there are also certain ways everyone reacts to being ill or having a disability. As a caregiver, you must be aware that of some common behaviors so that you will know what to expect when caring for an elderly person. It's important to remember that you bring certain feelings about illness with you when you care for an elderly person. These feelings are part of you. They make you, you. Sometimes these feelings are helpful to you and the elderly person, and sometimes they are not. We had some trouble with some of our nurses, you know, who wanted to go in and to help these people with their spiritual concerns. And spiritual concerns are a part of the hospice program, but they are not to try to convert somebody to something which they are not. So we dealt with a lot of Jewish patients. And you can't go in and say, you know, you got to become a Christian before you die. Because that's not what they believe.
How is this holistic medicine going?
I'm glad you asked that question. Because we're going to have Dr.
Granger Westberg,
who wrote the book Good Grief, and who is specialized in holistic medicine. Come down to Florida for a seminar we're putting on with our South Florida Chaplains Association on the holistic approach. And he has specialized in setting up what they call parish nurses in local parishes in the Chicago area, which has been worked out with the hospitals there, including Lutheran Hospital, so forth, in which the nurses are in the local parishes to help screen people and help people to know where to go for the needs that they have. And it's a very good program.
Are they RNs to start with? Or
yes.
What's the name of that book?
Good Grief.
By who?
Granger
Westberg. He happens to be a Lutheran.
Westberg.
Westberg.
Very good book.
Very good book, right.
To
In fact, they have it here in the library.
Oh, yeah.
They have it in the library. Okay?
That's on holistic?
Holistic. It's on a matter of grief. Grief. But he deals with holistic medicine as well. The difference between illness and disability. Do you know what that is? The illness is different from a disability. An illness is the absence of good health. An illness usually has pain and discomfort associated with it. This absence of health may be acute or it may be chronic. An acute illness starts suddenly and doesn't last very long. A chronic illness is one that continues for a long time. And disability is a condition that produces a physical or mental handicap. Usually a body function that we'll take for granted is impaired. A disability may be produced by an accident, an illness, or a birth defect. A chronic illness may cause disability. For example, diabetes, a chronic illness, may cause a person to have poor eyesight. A disability may or may not be painful or cause discomfort. The most important thing to remember about a disability is that it is usually permanent. My oldest sister died in a Presbyterian nursing home with Parkinson's and other related diseases. She was a vegetable. Her family had spent almost $250,000 in trying to help her in her problem. And you know what kept her from being Medicaid certified? Where the government would take over? She had a insurance with Colonial Penn, AARP, sponsored, which she had canceled. The family had canceled, but they never got a acknowledgement of it from Colonial Penn. I finally got it for them. She died a few days later. It's a big problem. That's it for today.
Thank you.
Thank you much.